2 weeks ago, we looked at how Jesus performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000. He had lots of sick and diseased. And we saw how his brothers were getting jealous, right? Because they're like, if you want to make a big name for yourself, Jesus, why don't you go up with all the crowds? Because remember, 3 times a year, the Jewish people had to go up to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple. It was mandatory. And they would go in large crowds. And they're like, well, you know, you want to bring yourself glory, here's your chance. Why aren't you out there letting the people usher you up in pomp, right? So everyone sees you coming if you want glory for yourself. We looked at how their hearts were deceived, right? Jesus wasn't here to get himself glory. Did you catch what we just read? Who did he want glory for? The Father. He wasn't here to make a name for himself. And we all know, we look at our culture, we look at history, people love to make it about themselves. Even when you preach, there's a temptation to make it about me. When I first started preaching, it was always about me. My first question to my wife, how was it? How was it? How did I do? Was it okay? Was it good? Was it not? Because that's our flesh. That's what our natural desire. I was torn between I wanted to glorify Christ. I want to preach his word. I want to lift up Jesus. But I have a sin nature. And there's a part of you that wants to do well to get applauded. And so his brothers are like, look, you think you're the big man, you think you're great, get up there, get the crowds whipped up, and get your following going. Because they didn't believe in Jesus, did they? They didn't believe in him. Not until after his death and resurrection. And we talked 2 weeks ago about, can you imagine being Jesus' sibling? There's already sibling rivalry, right? Where they try to one-up each other, who's the greatest? Jeremy's back there smiling. He knows what it's like. One of them does something. He points to his brother. And no, he did it first, and he hit me first. And but can you imagine if your brother was always right? What a mess that would be. But even so, look at their heart. I mean, even their brother's heart that grew up with Jesus, their hearts were so hard, they couldn't see it. Their own pride, I'm sure, was like, no, Jesus started it. Even when he didn't, because obviously he was sinless. He never started it. Never retaliated in anger or hatred or tattletaling or anything. He never sinned. That would have been a difficult person to grow up with. And I think you see that jealousy when they're like, come on, Jesus, you want to make a big name for yourself, brother? Let's go. There's the crowds. You're feeding the 5,000. Everybody's following you around. There's jealousy there. And so as we look at the passage this morning, I think Jesus really wants us to ask ourselves, who's ruling in our heart? Where's our heart at? And we need his discernment. We need the Lord to open our eyes, because just like his brothers, if his brothers lived with him 24 hours a day and they couldn't see it, how much harder is it for us to see it in our own lives? When he's not right there with us, physically telling us how we're messing up all the time. But he does give us his Holy Spirit, right? And as we look at our passages this morning, that's where we're going to see the difficulty comes in, is we have our flesh, which is deceitful. We have the Holy Spirit, which we know is always truth. And then there's evil influences, which... just little heads up, they're liars. But anyway, let's look at the text. Let's look back at verses 19 to 23. Jesus says, has Moses not given you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? So the first thing we see is what? That Jesus knows our heart. There's no hiding it. And if you're anything like me, when I first came to faith, there's oftentimes I'd hide it. Have you ever prayed to Jesus, I hate this person, please help me? No, we lie to ourselves. I hated somebody for 20 years and didn't realize until recently. And I was deceived. You would have asked me 6 months ago, but I don't hate anybody, because we're not allowed to hate, right? We know the rules. We know the rule book. So we deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves. But like I said, what's so hard about deceit is I can't see it, right? I can't see the truth. But as we seek him in his word, and if we want him to reveal it, He'll do a very fine job of showing us truth. But then what we have to watch for, though, is our flesh will lie, will justify, will, you know, it's difficult. So we want to make sure that we're seeking him, because he's the only one that can tell us what's truly in our heart. And what's amazing is Jesus is calling their heart out before they ever said a word, right? They haven't tried to kill him yet. They didn't even do anything evil to him. But he said, "Why you try to kill me?" And they're like, "What are you talking about?" The crowd answers him, "You have a demon. Who's seeking to kill you?" He was already ahead of them. He already knew what was in their heart. He knew the end. He knew how much they hated him. He already knew that hate was murder. He already knew that's where they were going to end up, hating him to the point where they put him to death, death on the cross. And so Jesus answered them, "I did one work, and you all marvel at it." And he's talking about, what's he talking about here? Do you remember what he's talking about? He's talking about when he healed on the Sabbath. He says, "Moses gave you circumcision, not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcised a man on the Sabbath. If on the Sabbath a man receives circumcision so the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because of the Sabbath I made a man's whole body well?" So that's what he's referring to, because before this scene, it wasn't in John's, that's why we haven't covered it, but it's in Luke. And I'm going to read it to you. Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. It says, "On another Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so they might find a reason to accuse him." Once again, what's Jesus know? He knows their heart. Here's a man with a withered arm. Do you know what Jesus thinks when he sees that? He wants to heal the person. He wants to make you well. He wants to make your soul well. That's what we saw with the paralytic, right? Where his friends lower him down. And Jesus looks at him and has compassion and says, "Your sins are forgiven." What was Jesus telling us? Our deepest wound, our deepest need is our soul. We need our spirit alive. We need forgiveness of sin. We need to overcome the second death, right? You're going to die. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. If you're born twice, you only die once, right? Because you really don't even die. It's just a passage from here to there. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll never die. The body falls down and you're in glory. But Jesus knew the deeper need. And right here again, we see the heart. He knows that they are testing him. Is he going to heal? Is he going to break our rules? And we continue on in verse 8. But he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come and stand here." He arose and stood there. And Jesus said to him, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or destroy it?" And after looking around at them, he said to them, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. They were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Why would they be filled with fury? If I see somebody who's sick or ill or in a wheelchair, I hate sin. I hate the enemy. Why would you be angry that he healed them? Because your heart is wicked. But they were deceived and they couldn't see it. You know, if you go back with me to Genesis chapter 3 that I read earlier, verses 1 to 5 say, "Now the serpent was more crafty than the other beasts of the field. The Lord said to him, he said to the woman, did God actually say, you should not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you should not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, I believe one of the things when we read that God made us in his image, one of the truths of that is he's given us a sovereign will. Obviously, we don't have complete sovereignty like him, but we have a choice to make. I believe Adam and Eve had an honest choice. They actually had the power to listen to the voice of God or listen to the voice of the enemy, the evil one, Satan. And what did I say? Jesus himself said, Satan is a liar and a murderer, and he's been a liar from the beginning. So right here we see, right? And then a little bit later on, whenever she actually does fall, we actually see her own inner flesh voice, which I didn't even think of until right now. Oh, the tree looks nice, and the fruit looks good. That's her flesh. So right here we see three voices. She has her flesh, which is like, oh man, that does look really nice. The liar, the enemy, who says, God just doesn't want you to be like him. And then we have the voice of God, which wanted to give life, right? The voice of God always wants to give life. He wants to set you free. Satan wants you bound, wants you defeated, wants you trapped in addiction and sin. Why? Because if you're trapped, you're bound, you're full of stress, you're full of anxiety and depression and just all the tools of the enemy. If you believe in Christ, if you open your heart, he wants to set the captives free. What's that mean? He wants to set you free from fear, from worry, from anxiety. He wants you to be free in Christ. Was Jesus ever afraid? Was he ever anxious? Was he ever fearful? Did he ever worry? Oh no, God didn't tell me about this one. I don't know what's going to happen. No. And it wasn't because he had limitless knowledge. It was because he knew the Father. He had the Holy Spirit. He trusted the Father from the beginning. It was his desire to do the will of God and hear his voice only. Because we see later the tempter did come, didn't he? I mean, earlier we saw the tempter came. And actually he comes again later in the garden. He came in the garden trying to stop him, trying to tempt him away. But Jesus was successful because he knew the voice of the Father. And he heard and he only listened to the voice of the Father. And he tells us if we know him, we know his voice, right? My sheep know my voice. And that's the whole key. But we have our own deceitful desires, and there might even be demonic influences, and we have to learn to block everything out and hear the Father, hear his voice. Lead and follow him. You know, and honestly, you know, if we look at the modern church, a lot of times there's lies get into the church. There's lies that get into the church, and I mean, there's lots of churches where it's about the law. It's about covering up and hiding sin. You know, it's about, because you realize that condemnation is from the enemy. Shame is from the enemy. Newsflash, we're all sinners. If you look at somebody else and you hear their sin and you judge them, you're under the law. You're playing on the wrong team. Yesterday, I sat in a group of pastors, and I heard some things that were mind-blowing. You know what the Spirit of Christ gave me for those people? Nothing but compassion and love and acceptance, because it's not about what we've done. It's about what he's done. Amen? It's his righteousness. But he also loves you too much to keep you in the junk you're in now, because we can have the Holy Spirit in us, and we can still be living in sin. He doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to be bound. He doesn't want you to struggle with anger and anxiety and worry. He wants you to come to him. He wants to set you free. There's freedom in Christ. He loves you too much to leave you in your junk. He came to set the captives free. If you're a slave to anxiety, if you're a slave to worry, if you're a slave to any sinful feeling, any fear, because if you really look at religion, what is it? It's fear, right? It's fear-based when it's religious. What will people think? I've heard multiple stories of people who fall into sexual sin. They get pregnant. And, well, I'm a believer in a body. What are they going to think of me? I got to abort my child. That's evil. That is evil. Because if you look upon a pregnant, teenage, unwed girl and you judge, you're just the same as Satan. Because Jesus Christ wants to offer forgiveness, healing, and repentance. He doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to heal you. And one thing Rob Bremer said over the weekend, I can't say any clearer or any louder. The grace of God far outweighs your sin. And Jesus doesn't bring us into the light to embarrass us. He doesn't bring us into the light to hurt us. He brings us there to set us free. When you recognize that your sin separated you from the creator of the universe and he has nothing but grace for you, how can we judge anyone else? How can we look down upon people with judgment? I just want to love people enough to see them set free. Now when I see a brother or sister in sin, I want them set free. Because that sin brings condemnation, it brings shame, it brings anxiety, it brings worry, it can bring sickness. 1 Corinthians, you eat and drink judgment upon yourselves. They were in sin. James tells us when we pray over one another, confess our sins. Because if we're living in sin, we're opening ourselves up to the enemy of our soul. Paul said, don't give the enemy a foothold. Don't give him an opportunity to gain ground. Don't give him any right to your soul. If we willingly rebel and willingly sin, you're opening your heart up to the enemy. Because Jesus can't bless you if you're living in open rebellion. What was rebellion? Who's the father of rebellion? Satan. He's the first one ever rebelled, right? He was in the very throne room of God. He was created the most beautiful angel. And he had pride and he rebelled. So that's one of the things that hit me over the weekend. A lot of us rebel. He brought out a truth that I've seen in my own life. You'll have an alcoholic. And then the next generation, they say, sometimes it'll skip a generation. He said, no, actually, a lot of times Satan will put in fundamental religion in place of. Because you rebel, I will never drink. I will never be around anybody who drinks. I'm never going to do that. And he gives you religion. And you're not set free. Because you're bound to that. You're bound to the I will never touch alcohol. Jesus wants free. He wants to set you free. Set you free. That's his message. He doesn't want us bound to anything. Because like he pointed out, I never saw that before. I would think that's a good thing. I always thought that was good. Whatever sin my parents did, I will never do that. I'm going to live my life and never. You're rebelling against that. You're not saying, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please teach me your laws. Help me walk in you, and I know I'll never go astray. If I'm walking in Christ, and when I do sin, I have an advocate before the Father. If you're in relationship with him, I never saw that before. We can't live in rebellion either, because that's a weapon of the enemy. We've got to be aware of the tools we're using, right? And that's when Jesus is looking at this. How could the Pharisees want to kill him because he healed on the Sabbath? Because they created a religion of condemnation, didn't they? How dare you eat with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus, from the beginning, from Genesis chapter 3 onwards, always wanted reconciliation. He wanted the Jewish people to take the message of reconciliation and hope to the nations, not of law and judgment. That's the enemy. The enemy wants the law. And he wants to condemn you. And he does it before the Father. Remember? He says he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that accuses you. He's the one that tells you you're no good. You're this, you're that. Jesus convicts. His Spirit, if you're listening, will tell you, hey, that's got to go. I can't bless that. I can't live with that. Because our sin clogs our thinking. It creates confusion. I can't hear his voice clearly. If you have sin and deceitful desires shouting loud, we can't hear the voice of the shepherd. And he wants to set you free. He wants to set you free this morning. But their hearts were so hard because they created a system of self-righteousness. They had pride. I keep the law down to the point I'm tithing the littlest plant in my garden. How are you doing? How good are you doing? You tie it in this one? It's a competition. That's pride. It's self. Feeding that self life. I'm better than people. I don't live like those people. I don't live like those people. Instead, what's Jesus bring? What do we see in Jesus? compassion. You know the Holy Spirit's flowing when you look at people and there's some of the deepest, darkest sins. Things come out that I've like, unbelievable. And all you have is compassion. Rob himself said, there's no judgment here. I was in a group of pastors. He said, what's said here stays here. There's no judgment. There's no shame. And I felt it. Nothing but the love of Christ. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he doesn't have judgment. Judgment's coming, right? That's what we need to recognize. That if we truly have the Holy Spirit, we better be listening to him. We better be growing in godliness and getting in his word to hear him. Because judgment is coming, but he didn't bring it this time. He said, I didn't come to condemn anyone. I didn't come to condemn the world. I came that the world might be saved through me. And Jesus finishes our passage with, do not judge by appearances, but judge what's with right judgment. What do you think that means? Don't judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. From the outside, it looks like Jesus is sinning. He's doing work on the Sabbath. That's what it appeared to be. It appeared to be he's breaking all the Sabbath laws. So the question this morning is, how do we judge right? How do we judge right? It's only by his Spirit. It's only by a walk with the Holy Spirit that we can judge right. We can judge right from wrong. But I can tell you right now, when you start feeling things, worry, anxiety, anger, rage, you're not working with the right team. Deception, control, fear. Perfect love drives out fear. If you've never felt the perfect love of Christ, if you've never felt a peace that surpasses all understanding, he wants you to come this morning. He wants you to lay down your pride, humble yourself. God can't bless somebody that's proud. You have to humble yourself. He's begging you to come this morning, just like these men here. The reason he was so hard against the Pharisees is because they took this, which was always meant to be grace, mercy, compassion, love, and they turned it into a rule book that I can prove I'm better than you because I'm keeping more of them. And it didn't bring forgiveness and reconciliation. They brought condemnation and shame. And that's an affront to the character of our God. Jesus is love and acceptance. Not your sin doesn't matter. No, he wants to drag you into the light and take your sin and give you his righteousness. And he wants you to walk in that righteousness. He wants you to be one with him so that we can be empowered by him to what? Set the captives free. As Rob said, every time Jesus shows up, the kingdom's reversed. Rob said, I have no power. I have no magic. If I pray for you, nothing's happening. If I pray Jesus shows up, stuff's going to happen. And that's the truth. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, I just pray for illumination into our hearts and our souls. Father, you want to heal us. We've all been through some traumatizing junk that happened to us. We've all made horrible mistakes, and we've all rebelled, and we've all sinned. And our suitcases are full of a lot of junk. And I'm thankful and praise you that you want to set us free. You want to heal us. You are our healer. And I just pray this morning that you would move in our hearts and that people right now who are wrestling. If anyone now feels resistance, that is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit submits. Resistance is the enemy. He wants to lie to you and keep you bound by all the junk of this world. And Jesus just wants to set you free. My prayer for you this morning, you be brave enough to step out in faith. Come forward and ask the Lord to set you free. Don't believe the lies of the enemy anymore. It's not about how your church attendance or it's not about how many times you read the Bible. It's not about religious duties. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you hear his voice? Is he your friend who's closer than a brother? Does he speak to you genuinely? Or is it the voice of the enemy? Only your discernment can help us. I know people that think they hear the voice of God and it's not. Only you can set us free. Only you can tell us what's in our hearts. I just pray that everybody take a minute right now. just give you time just to soak in their heart. And I think some of you, the Lord's revealing right now, the sin, unforgiveness, the direct, deliberate sin you're living in that has to go. Jesus can't occupy a space with sin. He can't live somewhere where you're just habitually ignoring his word, ignoring his voice. You can't hear the blessing without hearing him rebuke, without hearing him correct. You can't just have the blessings of Jesus without listening to his voice totally. It takes total surrender, and I just pray that people will do that this morning. You're a gentle shepherd. You're such a wonderful friend. You don't want to hurt anyone. You want to drag all their junk out into the light to set them free. I just pray this morning that people would respond to your voice. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So we sing our last song. If you want to come up and if you want to be prayed for, physical, spiritual, emotional healing, whatever. If you want to be anointed, come forward. Stand with me as we sing.